staff at Abbottstown were already steeling themselves for bad news as a true picture of the financial affairs of the association is to be presented, with new executive lead Paul Cook saying that people will be shocked by the figures.
Who was asleep at the wheel? How could we be told 18 months ago that the FAI would be debt-free in 2020, and now, practically at the beginning of 2020, we're going to be told that it's some enormous figure?
This is all volunteerism. And imagine, what their morale must be like this morning, which is why we have to really get to the bottom of this.
Of course, I'm very, very concerned about that. It's a massive figure, and it's certainly something which is very, very worrying indeed.
Some of the voices of this week is the truth about the FAI's financial straits came tumbling out. The figures do not make for pleasant reading for anyone who cares about sport in this country. Profits for 2016 and 2017 were overstated by almost €8 million. The association lost almost €9 million last year. It has total liabilities of €55 million, and its auditors are unable to certify that it is a going concern. So how do things go so badly wrong, and is there a way to save the FAI? We're joined by Niamh Brennan, Professor of Management at UCD Centre for Corporate Governance. And Niamh Brennan, I suspect you'll be using the FAI as an example of how not to run an organisation in your lectures.
Definitely, David. It's absolutely astonishing what the financial statements released on Friday reveal. They reveal an incredibly dire financial situation for the organisation. I think the most obvious explanation for why the organisation has got into this mess is because it was captured by a dominant person. And a lot of it does come back to one person. And I think that the organisation has been in denial, also showing a lot of defiance. And the problem with that is that if you're in denial with your problems, you're not fixing them. So over that period of time, the problems became worse and worse and are now almost insoluble. So we're now in the desperation and possibly defeat stage of the debacle. The FAI has got huge liabilities. It's in negotiation with its banks at the moment. I'm wondering, to what extent did the banks themselves know when they lent the organisation the money how bad things were? Or were the banks actually given a spin? And
Presumably they were, because the auditors seem to have been given a spin, and certainly some of the directors feel that they weren't given the information that they should have been given.
Yes, there was a lot of withholding of information and bad decisions were made as a consequence of that. It's so much better to face up to your problems and try to address them than to pretend you don't have problems. But the liabilities are so huge. The FAI doesn't have quality assets to pay off the liabilities. There's absolutely no cash. So I can't imagine the banks agreeing to continue to fund the organisation without some other party coming in by way of, we'll say, third-party support. And as I see it, the only third party capable of doing that is the government.
But the government, I mean, the Minister for Sport, Shane Ross, has made it quite clear that the state funding, which is €2.9 million, which is, I suppose, small in the scale of the FAI's problems, but it's still a very significant amount of money, until there's a complete clear out, until there's a change, at the real change at the top, he's not interested in talking to them.
Well, I can kind of understand it from his point of view. You know, the organisation, you could even go as far as to say that the organisation has become infected by some kind of dark culture. And changing a culture that is deeply buried in an organisation is very challenging. Now, that said, there are so many fantastic people involved. The coaches giving their time pro bono, hugely well motivated, hugely interested in soccer, their fans, all the rest. So it's really terrible that a group of people have brought the organisation to a dark side, given how much good goes on in the organisation.
Absolutely, and it reaches communities that other sports organisations don't reach.
Yeah.
So it's very important from that point of view. You spoke about domination by a single individual, and that's a kind of a theme that we saw in the financial crash a decade ago.
And it's very common in where there is corporate governance failure, that often explains it.
Now, from the point of view of the directors, what are the legal duties of directors? Because some of them are saying now, oh, well, we weren't given the information. Is that good enough?
I don't think so. In fact, the Sunday Times today have a lovely little revealing nugget to say that somebody must have told Mark Tighe and his colleague in the Sunday Times that the board was told at the board meeting approving the CEO's pay, the board was told that the contract was available in the CEO's office and they could look at it in the CEO's office if they wanted.
So they have to go knock on the door of the dominant individual and ask to see his...
Yes, yeah. And it just, to me, that just... because I have slightly experienced that kind of thing before, that, you know, it's made hard for you to actually get the evidence that you should get as a board member. But, you know, to be a good non-executive director, you have to be a little bit awkward. You have to be willing to ask awkward questions. You have to be willing to get a negative pushback if you're asking awkward questions, especially if you're asking the right questions. And some people just don't have the character, the bottle to do that. And by the way, do you think that there are boards who like having people who ask those kind of questions on the board? And I certainly think that where you have a dominant person, they certainly do not want to have anybody around who's going to ask awkward questions.
Getting state funding back is clearly important. Getting sponsors on board is clearly important because they've lost their main shirt sponsor, Three. But at some point...
Can I just say, David, that they've lost Three. I made a mistake about this on Drive Time on Friday, that they've lost Three, but they also have lost Sports Direct. Mm. And Sports Direct had this sponsorship on the jerseys, I think. But there was this secret option agreement that nobody knew about, as it turns out, where Sports Direct could get all the money back that he'd ever given the FAI. So that's a second. They've got to pay $100,000 a month over a lengthy number of months for Sports Direct to recover $6.5 million, adding to its woes on its negative cash flow. So it has problems already with two sponsors. And the one thing sponsors are very, very careful about is their own brand. And they don't want their own brand to be tarnished by a toxic brand from another organisation.
Is the FAA brand too toxic to be saved?
That's a big question. Does the FAI brand, and then there's, I suppose, Football Ireland, and it's just unimaginable that we couldn't have Football Ireland. As to what you do with the FAI brand, that's a huge question.
Okay, it's a 55 million euro question. Niamh Brennan, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Carol.
So how is all of this news that's tumbling out being received on the pitches and in the clubs around the country? And bear in mind, there are 2,700 clubs. Declan Carey is the chairman of Cork City FC and he's on the line. Declan, thanks for joining us. What's the reaction, first of all, locally to these revelations about the FAI?
Yeah, I guess, Carol, we've spoken to a number of stakeholders associated to our own club and also to our own supporters and, you know, generally just around the city to anyone who's, you know, interested in football, which, you know, the majority of the country is. And, yeah, look, it is shocking revelations that surfaced last week. Very disappointing news for all of us involved in League of Ireland football, I'm sure, where, you know, we've strived for years for, you know, more attention from the FAI, I suppose. And we did get that from some quarters and some departments of the FAI. But, you know, from a senior level, you know, we always seem to have been shunned away. And I guess, you know, hate to say I told you so kind of thing, but, you know, there was always a feeling that something was amiss. And, you know, to say, are we surprised in League of Ireland circles that this has now all come to light? And, you know, there has been these revelations about the organisation of the FAI. Probably not, but to the extent, I think, is probably the most shocking thing. But I think one thing we do appreciate, certainly in our own club anyway, and the way we try to do our business as well, is the transparency now that the FAI have come out with since last week. I think it's an opportunity for them now to keep that level of transparency going and be as honest and upfront with the public as possible. I know your last speakers there spoke about, you know, the brand and trying to regain trust. I think the FAI has a, you know, can capitalise on that opportunity now through the, you know, as you said, there are thousands of volunteers across the country, you know, involved in League of Ireland clubs, grassroots football, you know, junior teams all across the country who are, you know, coaching kids every weekend. I think there's an opportunity now to really go back to basics with all of that, and there is an opportunity to get out of this, but it's going to take a lot of work from the FAI themselves.
Could you think you as a club could live without the FAI, or would you like to see something reconstituted, something different?
Yeah, look, I think there's been ongoing discussions. You know, certain figures have been in the public eye over the last year or so about reforming the league. And, you know, I think, look, some people have vested interests in themselves getting into different positions, etc. And, you know, we've had some ideas about an All-Ireland League, perhaps, and the clubs splitting away from the FAI and setting up our own company where the clubs would be a shareholder, similar to how the Premier League works in the UK and the majority of leagues around Europe. We're in favour as a club in any kind of an opportunity to restructure the league to benefit football from an underage perspective all the way up to, you know, bringing in more commercial revenue and more TV rights, which we have been denied by the FAI over the last number of years. I know Noel Mooney, since he came in his interim role, was very supportive of the league in that short time and tried to drive the discussions around reform. And I think, yeah, the League of Ireland clubs ourselves now need to be brave over the next couple of months and year on what direction we want the league to go. I think we can take advantage of the situation as well now and try to reform the league as best we can and try to, you know, recoup what we have been denied as clubs over the last number of decades.
And just briefly and finally, Declan, do you foresee years of austerity now?
I don't think so, because look, these are, look, I think your last speakers only have mentioned, you know, this all goes back to one particular figure. I think, yeah, at a high level and director level and board level, the FAI has its issues, but there will still be, you know, coaches all across the country, and even down in Cork here, you know, we have our own academy, and I know that they'll still be training away. Kids will still love to play the game. And when you have that, I think there's always going to be an opportunity to recover and try to rebuild. So, yeah, while I think there may be austerity at a high level in the FAI, maybe with the national team, I know they've been suffering over the last while, I really think now the country as a whole needs to go back to basics with regards to football itself.
Okay.
Look at countries like Iceland and some of the Scandinavian countries who have had, you know, a lot more success than Ireland as a nation in major tournaments, because they have built from scratch and they've built academies all over their countries and built facilities, and I think now that's where we need to go back to.
Okay,
definitely. Like striving to get to a major tournament so everyone can go off on a nice holiday somewhere, but, you know, really go back to basics and take opportunities and advantages from that.
Okay, we leave it there. Declan Carey, Chairman of Cork City FC, thank you very much for joining us.